Instruments and the singing at the end. What a great blessing. Let's take the Word of God this morning and we will go to the first book in the New Testament, to the book of Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, as I promised you, today would be the first Sunday morning of a brand new series on studies on the Sermon on the Mount. Today is somewhat of an introductory message, but I believe there is a great point in which we need to understand on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, please understand this morning that the book of Matthew is known as the book of the King. It deals with the kingdom of heaven. In fact, you will find 31 times in the book of Matthew that it references the kingdom of heaven. And you say, what is the Lord doing? Well, I believe that even as we study today about the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are a part of the Sermon on the Mount, that it begins with the kingdom of heaven and ends with the kingdom of heaven. You say, what does all this mean? Well, folks, today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are not of this world. We are really heirs of another kingdom. I don't know if you've ever been to a foreign country before, and I've been to foreign countries years ago when I took young people on missions trips and Peru and Venezuela and different places like that. You know, while I was there, it was like, I don't really belong here. I don't really know their language. That was one hindrance. And it was like, I'm ready to get back home. Well, folks, the longer we live here on earth, the longer I look forward to the kingdom of heaven. So we must understand, as we deal with the Beatitudes, know that we are not of this world. The Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Oh, understand that the preacher is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, understand that many commentators believe that this is when Jesus began really his public ministry. He went to a mountaintop and he sat down and he began to preach. We understand that he was really speaking to his disciples, but I personally believe, as others do, that the congregation, all those gathered around, heard what Jesus spoke. And today, as we begin, I want to preach on this subject, the blessings of the Beatitudes. Now, understand that when we deal with the Sermon on the Mount, it's going to take us a long time to get through chapters 5, 6, and 7. But for many weeks, we will deal with what's called the Beatitudes. Now you say, why do we call it that name? Well, when Jesus began this sermon, the first word out of his mouth was blessed. Now understand that that is the first time that Jesus used that word, and it's the first time in the New Testament that the word is given. By the way, the word blessed comes from a Latin word that means beatus. And the ideal is it refers to a beatitude. It has to do with something inward. It has to do with our character. It has to do with what God does in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, please know this. If you are without Jesus Christ, then it is impossible for you to live any of the Beatitudes. Because this is a work of the Holy Spirit that God does in our hearts. Today, the blessings of the Beatitude. Let's begin in chapter 5, verse number 1, and let's read the first 12 verses together. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now I am just quoting just a portion of Jesus' sermon. This is the longest discourse, the longest sermon that our Savior, that we have recorded in God's Word. But today, what does it mean, the blessings of the Beatitudes? Now, let me help you to understand something. Can you imagine what it was like that day when Jesus came upon that mount and he sat down and he began to preach and he began to teach? And when he uttered the word blessed, I am sure that that was something that took everyone by great surprise. Because really, the word simply means happy. Do you know this morning that Jesus Christ himself, as God's people, he wants us to know true spiritual happiness. God wants us to know happiness. By the way, you know, when we think of our Savior, we understand that the Lord Jesus, I mean, he encountered so much through his life. But I believe that if you could have met Jesus Christ, he was a happy man. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, there's one indication of that, and that is that the children love to come to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to just tell you something. Children don't really like grumpy people, you know? They just don't. I mean, look, I can remember when I was a kid and there were certain people in my church. God love them, all right? But they were just grumpy people, you know? And you know, you've met people like that before. They just had a sour disposition in life. Well, as a kid, I wasn't going to them. I didn't want to spend time with them. But as a child, I knew when people had the joy of Jesus about their life. And you know something? I wanted what they had. I believe that Jesus was a happy man. He had the inner joy, the inner peace, that satisfaction in his heart, unlike anybody else, because he was God's precious Son. And Jesus Christ, when he said, "Blessed are ye," I'm sure that those disciples and those around them that heard Jesus speaking were in tune to what he is saying. By the way, do you know that all of us want happiness? We think of our lives often and we think of ways in which we can be happy. We buy certain things because we think they will bring happiness. Is that not what all the commercials tell us? And you know, you take a commercial and you take someone that has something and the sky is dark, it rains and there's no sunshine there and they have no friends. But if you buy that product, you have friends, the sun comes out, life is good. And have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's just amazing. You know what they're trying to tell you? You can't be happy with what you have. You need this. But I believe the Lord Jesus, in a sense, is saying, I want to show you the secret of real happiness. So he gives us the blessings of these Beatitudes. By the way, the world has its own ideal of being blessed, does it not? They may think blessed is the man who is always right. Blessed is the man who is satisfied with himself. Blessed is the man who is strong. Blessed is the man who rules. Blessed is the man who is rich. Blessed is the man who is popular. But when Jesus gave these blessings, And the way for us to have true happiness in Christ, it went against the grain of everything that was going on in the world and in our world today. So today, the blessings of the Beatitudes. Number one, I want to show you some very simple thoughts this morning as we begin this study. Number one, in the Beatitudes, we see the portrait of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? Sometimes we can get distracted as we are studying the Bible. And here's what I mean by that is, we could read through the list of blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are they that mourn and all down through there. And we can almost think to ourselves, Lord, I am none of those things. And by the way, can I tell you, when I read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, it crushes me to the ground. It takes out all of the, I believe if we read it correctly, the pride and the self-sufficiency in our lives, because you will find that it is impossible in yourself to create these Beatitudes. They are not natural. It is not something that comes natural to the human heart. And by the way, an unsaved man or woman cannot produce these Beatitudes. But as I read them, I want to show you that when I read the Beatitudes, can I tell you who I see? I see Jesus Christ Himself. It's the portrait of Jesus Christ. Let's take an artist who is painting a portrait. With every brush of the stroke, or with every drawing of the pen, or whatever it may be, the drawing that he is doing, the Beatitudes, all of them are connected. And it's like every brush, as we look at every Beatitude, and it all completes the portrait of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to say that when you read the Bible, have a direct view of Christ when you are reading God's Word. Because I want you to see something today, that when we read these Beatitudes, it should not create in us, boy, I fell there, and I fell there, and I fell there. It should cause us to look at our Savior and say, Jesus, thank you that you are the one who encompasses all the Beatitudes. It is the very portrait of our Savior. By the way, who is the one who is poor in spirit and possess the kingdom of heaven? It is Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible says that He humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A king who allowed men to take Him and to crucify Him. How is that? Because He was poor in spirit. But how did He, as the Bible said, inherit the kingdom of heaven? Because the Bible goes on to say, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Jesus is the one who is poor in spirit. Who is the one who mourned and yet was comforted? Jesus Himself. Read Psalm chapter 22, and it talks about the weeping Savior. Who is the meek one? Who is the one who hungered and thirsted after righteousness? Who is the merciful one? Who is the one pure in heart and the peacemaker and the one who was persecuted for righteousness' sake? I want you to see today that it was Jesus Christ Himself. And if we are going to learn the Beatitudes, it draws us near to our Savior. Folks, today, do you know what the meaning of life really is? It is that God brings us unto Himself. God is working to bring us unto Himself. Now, this week, as I told you earlier, I had a man in my office, 23 years of age, did not know the Lord as his Savior. You know something? I had him read the book of John, and he read through the Bible, and he had questions for me. Man, it was exciting. But you know something? Through the book of John, can I tell you what he saw? He saw Jesus Christ Himself. He saw Jesus who healed the sick and gave the blind man eyesight. And Jesus who took a man like Nicodemus and showed him that you must be born again. Folks, can I tell you something? Really what God is doing is that He is bringing us to Himself. Through the trials and the circumstances of your life, it is that we would see Jesus. It is that we catch a glimpse of Christ, that we, and by the way, being in His presence transforms us. And we know Christ. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, when we study the Beatitudes, I want you to see the portrait of Jesus Christ. You know what helps me? When I'm studying the Bible, when I'm reading God's Word, I want to look for Jesus on every page of Scripture. And you know what I find in Jesus Christ? He's perfect. I find that He's the altogether lovely one. I find that He is the Savior who loves me. The Savior who is interested in my life. The Savior who is working all things together for my good. You see, the Beatitudes, it's a portrait of Jesus. When we talk soon about blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus was the very one who was poor in spirit. But I want you to know today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ indwells you this morning. And He enables you to exemplify the Beatitudes in your life. So we see, number one, in the Beatitudes, the portrait of Jesus Christ. By the way, can I just stop and say this to you? Have you ever maybe come in contact with someone that you have not seen in a long time? Have you ever gone to them and maybe you embrace and hug and, boy, you're so glad to see them. You're so thankful to be able to just to be in their presence. But I want you to know something. There is coming a day, if you know Christ as your Savior, that we will see our Savior face to face. Face to face. Boy, I look forward to that day. You know, think of that day when you see the Son of God who loved you, who was willing to give His life for you. Oh, what a day that will be. Listen, folks, heaven is all about Jesus. It's all about being in His presence. By the way, there is no sun there because we need no sun. Jesus is the light thereof. And all throughout life, we are to see Christ, the portrait of Jesus. Number two, the Beatitudes, not only do we see the portrait of Christ, but the Beatitudes are the product of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Take your Bibles this morning and let's go to Romans chapter number 8, would you please? Romans chapter number 8. And as you're turning there, let me take you on a little journey if I can this morning. But I want you to hear me out. No man or woman can live the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes in his own strength. It is impossible. But folks, the Lord Jesus Christ died to enable us to live the Sermon on the Mount. You know, when I first came to know the Lord as my Savior and I began this journey of the Christian life, and it is a journey that we are on. You know something? I found out very early that I could not do it. In my own strength, I could not forgive, and I could not love, and I could not care, and I could not do these things in my own strength. And I believe the Sermon on the Mount speaks of this so greatly, that you are not capable of your own self. We need someone else. Well, folks, if you know Christ as your Savior, Christ indwells you. I love the phrase that, and we'll look at it in just a minute, Christ in you. I love that. Christ is in me today in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within me enables me to live the life that Christ has purchased for me to live. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. In myself dwelleth no good thing. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I mean, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul, a wretched man, one of the best Christians who ever walked the face of the earth, one of the greatest missionaries. But he understood that within himself, he was a wretched, vile sinner. But you know what Paul also knew? That he said that Paul knew that Jesus Christ indwelled him and that Christ enabled him to live the life that God wants all of His children to live. Romans chapter 8, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but let me read a few verses, starting in verse number 1. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Can I stop and say this to you? You know what this means? When you come to know Christ as your Savior, no longer do you have to live as a slave to sin. Now, sometimes we do. Sometimes we yield and we sin. But folks, we don't have to. The power has been broken. Now we can live victoriously in Jesus Christ because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We read on. Verse 3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, can I tell you something? The righteousness can be fulfilled in you, not because of what you can do, not because of your ability, but because of Jesus Christ in you. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But look in verse 9, but ye, is speaking of Christians, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now I could read on, but notice what it says in verse number 16. The Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Go to verse number 26 if you would please. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You say, what are infirmities? I'm not talking about your husband or your wife, all right? I'm not talking about your spouse, your boss. Infirmities are shortcomings. We all have them. Infirmities, we cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own self. We read on, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Verse 26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We read on, and the Bible says in verse 35, and I love this chapter, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Folks, can I tell you this today? The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, I don't have time to go into this, but you know what? Daddies and fathers, you know what you need most in your home is a daddy and a father who is poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Oh, listen, what great blessing you will be to your family, to your wife, to your children when you are poor in spirit. What about the meek? What about those that mourn? What about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? But I can't do those things. I cannot muster up enough energy of my own self. It is the product of the Holy Spirit within our life. You know what I think some people think of the Beatitudes? They think, well, boy, those are beautiful, wonderful, but that's impossible for me. Folks, you are wrong if we think that. And by the way, I believe the devil often lies to us about what is impossible. It is impossible in your flesh, but folks, it is possible through Jesus Christ who indwells you. He enables us to live the life that God wants us to live. Folks, each beatitude is produced by grace alone and the operation of the Holy Spirit within us. He enables us to live this life. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to show you this simply. By the way, you remember the verse that I read that we are heirs of God and we are heirs of Christ and joint heirs with God. Is it not amazing that the Lord says that we are kings? Jesus was a king when He walked the face of the earth, but you would not have known that He was a king. He did not live as the world's kings live. He did not die as the world's kings died. He was a totally different kind of king. And that is the kind of kingship that we are to live here on this earth. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about? Do you know how many Christians today are slaves to their own sin habits and to their own things in life? They're slaves to circumstances. They're slaves to their own emotions. They are slaves to it. They do not live the life Christ died for them to live. You know, so often we can think, well, that's just my personality, or that's just how I was raised. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ can break the chains of any bondage or habit in your life today. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter what you are prone to in your family or your personality. We are capable, through the power of Christ, to live the life of the Beatitudes. We can live being poor in spirit. We can live with hunger and thirst after righteousness. We can live the kind of life that Jesus Christ embodies because He indwells us. Folks, the Beatitudes, it's the product of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. And look what it says in verse number 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There it is. You know all those blessings Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 5? Well, they are all in Jesus. And if Christ indwells us, as we yield to the Lord, as we surrender to Him, as we live in obedience to Christ, He enables us to live the life that we can never live in our own strength and in our own flesh. Let's read on. The Bible goes on to say, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let's read on here. I want to show you this passage. Look at verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is God's inheritance for you? To live the life of the Beatitudes, the life of Christ indwelling you, living out through you. It goes on to say in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now go to chapter 2, and I've got to show you this. And look what the Bible says in chapter number 2, and notice what it says here in that verse number 16. Chapter 2 and verse 16 of Ephesians. It says, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And it says, and came and preached peace to them that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, we are brought into the family of God, and God enables us to live the life that He wants us to live. Look in chapter 3, and look, notice what it says in verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Folks, when Adam was created, he was perfect. Adam had a perfect fellowship with God the Father. Do you know that when Adam walked the face of the earth, he walked with God? But Adam rebelled against God. Adam and Eve sinned. And folks, we all are born into Adam's line. We are born as sinners, and we are born as slaves. Slaves to sin and slaves to our own habits. But folks, when you are born again through faith in Jesus Christ, you are born an heir of God, and now you are a king. Folks, but why do so many of us live as servants and slaves? We're slaves to our own passions. We're slaves to our own lust. We are slaves and servants to the sin in our life. We do not live as Christ wants us to live. But folks, can I know something? You have everything as a child of God this morning that you need to live a victorious Christian life. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. These Beatitudes, it is the product of the Holy Spirit. Number three, in the Beatitudes, we find not only the portrait of Jesus Christ, not only do we find, as we talk about the product of the Holy Spirit, but we find the path of true happiness. You know something, the happiness that Christ spoke of in Matthew chapter 5, it's not a superficial happiness that depends on our circumstances. Look, I'm happy when it's sunshine outside, but that's only circumstantial because it's not going to stay that way. I'm happy when the Buckeyes win. Thank God for that. I'm happy, but that's not the happiness of Matthew chapter 5. What is this happiness? It is not based on circumstances. It is not based on how others treat us or what others do to us. This is a happiness that is produced by the Holy Spirit within us. It is a happiness that God wants every Christian, and you can know it. I know in our church, you may say, well, Pastor, my wife died. I don't think I'll ever be happy again. You can in Christ. Yeah. Pastor, my husband died. I don't think I can ever be happy again. Oh, may I tell you, you can know true happiness in Jesus Christ. Pastor, my health is gone, and we have people in our church that are dealing with cancer and disease and all kinds of things. And maybe every waking hour is an hour of pain for their physical body. But you can know the happiness that Christ has promised all of us. You know what we do sometimes? We think of a better day. Well, one day when the kids get out of the house, we'll be happy again, all right? I do not feel that way, but maybe you say, one day when I get to retire, then I'll be happy. One day when I get the house paid off. One day. Folks, it'll never come that way. You see, we can know true happiness no matter what is going on around us, no matter who has forsaken us, no matter who has betrayed us. We can know happiness because of Christ within us and our fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, these Beatitudes gives us the secret of happiness. And by the way, we cannot go very far in the Sermon on the Mount without understanding that Jesus Christ was a happy man. He lived with peace. He lived with calmness. He lived with certainty. He lived with peace in the midst of all that Christ dealt with. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was forsaken. He was betrayed. And yet Jesus knew complete fellowship with His Father. By the way, happiness is the great question confronting everyone today. By the way, the whole world is longing for happiness, and it is tragic to observe the ways in which people are seeking happiness. And by the way, the vast majority of people that try to find their own happiness try to find it in such a way that they produce their own misery and the consequences of their own sin. You know what? That's the utter deceitfulness of sin where it comes in. It is always offering happiness, and it always leads to unhappiness and wretchedness in life. The devil lies to us about happiness. The devil lies to us about what is fulfilling in life. And the devil says, if you get this, you'll be really happy. But really, at the end of it, is nothing but misery and destruction. Jesus comes and says, what I'm going to tell you is unlike what the world says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Folks, The life of the Sermon on the Mount is the very life of Jesus Himself. By the way, you may think today, well, preacher, I don't know the Bible like you know it. But I want you to know something. You can still know happiness in Jesus Christ. You can still exemplify the Beatitudes. This is not just for some exceptional Christian that we might think. This is for all of God's children. Folks, beware of thinking that the Sermon on the Mount is too far beyond what you could ever reach to. Oh, folks, as we yield to Christ, as we surrender to Him, He enables us to live these Beatitudes. Let's go back in closing to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to show you this as we close today. Folks, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Him today? I believe that every time I preach, I believe there are people in our congregation that do not know the Lord. And you know, it begins, the Beatitudes, where blessed are the poor in spirit. It's not talking about poor in your bank account, but poor in spirit. You know something, before a man or woman or a boy or girl can come to know Jesus Christ, they must, as the Bible says, become as a little child. A little child. Just this morning, as Sunday school was getting ready to get started, I had a little child run into my office. The doors were closed, but they opened the doors, which I like it that way. They came in, they know I have candy in my office, and I do. And they know I have books in my office. They came and give Pastor a hug, and then they wanted a sucker and a story from the preacher, all right? And you know what I did? I sat down and read a book. It was a spiritual book. It was about Spot, all right? A little dog, you know? We read that book. And you know something? As I was reading that book, I like it. And I try to make it as animated as possible and dangerous animals in that book and all that. I was reading the book and they were laughing animated throughout that whole thing. And I thought to myself, Lord, I want to be a little child when I come before Your presence. I want to be like that. Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me a story from Your Word. Speak to my heart. Well, the Beatitudes, it begins with poverty in spirit. When we humble ourselves before God and we say, God, make me this. We read on, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is a worldly mourning and there is a godly mourning. The Bible talks about godly sorrow and there is a worldly sorrow. It goes on, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You remember when you got saved? Did you hunger for God? Did you hunger for His Word? Listen, all of these Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know what? When I read this, it goes against my human nature. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to mourn. I don't want to be poverty in spirit. I do not want to be meek. I do not want to hunger and thirst. You see, folks, it goes against us. But as we see that this is all about Jesus, let's look to Him in the days to come. Let's get our eyes on Christ and our eyes off of everything in the world and off of everyone else and look to Jesus Christ. But know that it is the product of the Holy Spirit. As we yield to Him, as we per se give Him all the keys to every door in our heart, He begins to work through us. And then I want you to know it is the path to true happiness in life. You know what? We want happiness, but there is a price to pay. And as we yield to the Lord, today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. There is only happiness in Jesus, and He's the only way to heaven. Come today. Let us show you how to be saved. But if you're a child of God here this morning, maybe today you'd like to leave your seat and come and say, God, teach me what it means to be real happy. Teach me what it means. I want to be your student as I listen and learn from Thee. The blessings of the Beatitudes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, You know all about this day and You know all about this message. And Father, You've given us this Sermon on the Mount. And Lord, I want to study it. I want to hide it in my heart. But I want us as a church and as people to know the way to true happiness, Your happiness in life. And that, Father, we could be a church filled with people that exemplify these Beatitudes. Deal with us this morning. And Father, I pray for anyone that is here that does not know Christ, that today they would come humbly before Thee. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, Preacher, I do not know Jesus as my Savior today. I do not know where I would go if I died. Would you pray for me? No one is looking around, and I will not embarrass you, but how many would say, that's me, Preacher. Would you pray for me? Because I don't know where I'd go if I died today. I'm not a child of God. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me, Preacher. Pray for me. Now I want to ask you, child of God, how many would say, Preacher, I'm going to be honest, I do not know the happiness that you speak of today and that the Lord has promised His children. I don't know it. And God has dealt with me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me this morning, Preacher. Pray for me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Today, I want you to know something. It is found in Christ. Come to Him humbly. And let us let God do His work in our heart. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to finish this prayer and then let's do business with the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You that You're always at work in our hearts. Thank You that Jesus embodies all these Beatitudes. Help us to learn week after week. And may we yield so that we can be like our Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll go to hymn number 826. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's sing it together. If the Lord has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come and find a place here to pray? Hymn number 826.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
I want to thank for being here today, and we've had a special day with lots of music, and I thank this group for coming. I'm going to ask them if they can leave their seat and head to the back where the table is, and maybe you'd like to speak with them and thank them. I'm so grateful that they're here. And then tonight, as I begin this new series as well, Behaving Ourselves in the Church of the Living God, and I pray that you can be here tonight, and may God help us in a special way. Brother Stevens, would you come? Close this morning in prayer. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out this morning.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the day that You've given us, and I pray, Lord, that as You help us as we go out, we would have the wisdom how to be able to talk to people and be able to share this happiness that we have, this joy, this true joy that we have in You. And Lord, we thank You that You not only love us, that You not only give us a home in heaven, but You care about our well-being on this earth. And Lord, I pray that we would always look to You, that our faith would increase. Lord, be with us as we are on the road. Give us safety. And Lord, I pray that You'd bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.